Welcome to our Local Voices special presentation called A Glance Back on 94.7 KPIP LP Fayette. A Glance Back is brought to you by the Boonslick Historical Society and its president, respected Fayette community member Jim Steele, journalist, graphic designer, and local historian. Local Voices, A Glance Back, a two-hour program, airs every Monday and Friday starting at noon and then again at 4 p.m. The show focuses on the music, radio features, and history of World War II and beyond as it affected Fayette, America, and the world. Thank you for tuning in to this special edition of Local Voices, only on 94.7 KPIP.
Coming in on a wing and a prayer. Coming in. We can still carry on, coming in on a wing and a prayer. What a show, what a fight. Yes, we really hit our target for tonight. How we sing as we limp through the air. Look below, there's our field over there. With our full crew aboard and our trust in the Lord, we're coming in on a wing and a prayer. Coming in on a wing and a prayer. What a show, what a fight. Yes, we really hit our target for tonight. How we sing as we limp through the air. Look below, there's our field over there. With our full crew aboard and our trust in the Lord, we're coming in on a wing and a prayer.
Thank you.
taking a glance back at history with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition and we'll all stay free. Praise the Lord and swing into position. Can't afford to sit around a wishing. Praise the Lord, we're all between perdition and the deep blue sea. Yes, the sky pilot said it. You gotta give him credit for a son of a gun of a gunner was he. Shout and praise the Lord, we're on a mighty mission. All aboard, we're not a going fishing. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition and we'll all stay free.
We did it before and we can do it again. And we will do it again. We've got a heck of a job to do, but you can bet that we'll see it through. We did it before and we can do it again. And we will do it again. We're one for all and we're all for one. They'll get a licking before we're done. Millions of voices are ringing, singing as we march along. We did it before and we can do it again. And we will do it again. We'll knock them over and then we'll get the guy in back of them. We did it before, we'll do it again. Millions of voices are ringing, singing as we march along. We did it before and we can do it again, and we will do it again. This country never has lost a war from days of waiting pain. We did it before, we'll do it again.
You are listening to Local Voices on 94.7 KPIP. Now, our local historian, Jim Steele, will take us back to the age of World War II.
This is KPIP Radio, 94.7 FM. And today, we continue with a subject begun last week with our program, Local Voices, A Glance Back. I'm Jim Steele, reporting under the sponsorship of the Boonslick Historical Society. Well, today, in this second part of a two-part series, we're going to take a few minutes again to remember what was going on here and around the nation during that time of the Great Depression 84 years ago. Now, as we noted last week, it was not particularly an auspicious year, although the awful drought and the heat wave of 1936, the year before, had somewhat abated. The Depression, which seemed to be on the mend a year or two earlier, had taken, unfortunately, another turn for the worse. The year before also had been an election year, as you know, and the year of the historic Olympics in Berlin, which of course had made history. 1937, FDR was inaugurated for a second term shortly after the new year dawned, the first time a U.S. president had taken office in January instead of March. Now, we pick up where we left off. As January gives way to February, more than 500 folks here turn out for FDR's annual birthday ball at the Fayette Armory. It was located in the Opera House building, the building now owned by Rick Alexander on the southeast corner of Main and Morrison on the square. The birthday balls were observed nationwide, and they raised funds for polio research, which ultimately led to the discovery of the Salk vaccine. Also in January, Central College kids crammed for final exams, and the White American Legion Post is honored for its membership drive as Howard County residents go over the top in responding to a Red Cross drive to relieve suffering from flooding on the Ohio River. Fayette native W.F. McMurray, who was the son of the late Methodist bishop and the former College Central president, is among those key leaders directing Louisville flood relief. Locally, on the square, Skillman's Grocery suffers a fire which destroys part of the building. Central College's Symphony Orchestra, under the direction of one Professor Mealy, plays to an estimated crowd of 8,000 persons during their tour of Southwest Missouri. And not to be outdone, the band, under the iconic K.K. Anderson, plays in the rotunda of our state capitol in Jefferson City. This for Governor Lloyd Stark's inauguration. Also at Central, Eagle debaters win the top trophy in state competition. Among the students, Martha Jane Dethridge of Fayette is named the college popularity queen, and the Central College Madrigal Singers perform over KSD Radio in St. Louis. Not long afterward, articles note that Central's choir, under the direction of Luther Spade, has achieved statewide recognition. And local news accounts tell of efforts to construct a lighted softball field in the city park, and ultimately this is successful. In the rural part of the county, residents attend the annual Clover and Prosperity Dinner, and a group known as the Handy Helpers Health and Sanitation Club is established at Guthrie School. About 75 persons also attend the annual meeting of the Fayette Co-op, where L.W. Jacobs Jr. is elected the treasurer. At the Dickinson Theater, later known as the Fayette Theater and ultimately the Grand Theater, the film being shown stars Clark Gable in San Francisco. And as spring nears, scenic drives of the city park open, and the swimming pool, which had opened the year before in 1936, gets a huge water slide adjacent to the high drive, neither of which would today be approved by OSHA. Also happening, the city jail, not to be confused with the county jail, is moved from the second floor of City Hall to the basement, making the transfer of prisoners easier. On a less happy note, the Greyhound bus line petitions to end service to Fayette and to Glasgow, and north of Fayette, a smallpox epidemic rages in Higbee. Also, well-known Mobile League businessman T.J. Cross, who had donated the funds for Central's Cross Memorial Tower, dies at the age of 81. The tower today remains a landmark on the CMU campus. Two significant developments during April 1936 include a huge April Fool's walkout of Howard Payne freshman girls who then, quote, invade the Dickinson Theater and are evicted. Then they proceed to call McMurray Hall boys for dates. Unfortunately for the young women, they have their privileges revoked by college authorities. Also that month, Fayette Mayor E.Z. Liggett, L-I-G-G-E-T-T, throws a switch to place in operation a new $84,000 diesel generator at the city power and light plant. Probably none too soon, for the J. Leon Ross drugstore announces plans for air conditioning. This after Alsop and Turner had become the first Fayette store to have it a year before in 1936. It also was a drugstore. Nonetheless, the city's electrical distribution system is criticized for noisy transformers, which were said to interfere with radio reception. In other 1936 springtime developments, Central's president, Robert Ruff, speaks at the Fayette High School graduation with 37 diplomas conferred. Also during the month, six local boys depart for service in CCC camp, and a well-known physician, Dr. William Bloom, gets a new Packard after wrecking his older car. He did several of those. And the Fayette Savings and Loan observes its 50th anniversary. In other news, the Meyer School District is discontinued, and Fayette Aggies take honors at the state contest. And as warmer weather nears, Clatworthy's Ladies Ready to Wear advertises new Deli Dons. Another significant 1937 milestone, the Fayette Rotary Club's charter banquet takes place on March 23rd, but only gets moderate play in the newspaper. However, the editor does goes on to note that the new club, quote, will fill a need in Fayette, and after 84 years, it certainly has. As we noted last week, horrific traffic accidents were more common in those bygone days, and during the spring of our year of focus, a bad car accident took place at a location known as Viaduct Hill, where a bridge crossed the MKT tracks at the point where Highway 40 emerges from the bottomland. It kills two local motorists, and concern for the dangerous situation prompts the Missouri Highway Department to make improvements. It's also reported that the Highway 5 to Glasgow is in bad shape, and it's also noted that the relatively new blacktop on Highway 240 en route to Columbia is already showing signs of washboarding and is described as dangerous. In other news, Captain B.I. Lawrence, commander of the Missouri National Guard Company M here, and a well-known citizen, is promoted to major and takes over command of the Guard's 3rd Battalion, which covers much of northern Missouri. He succeeds Lewis Means, who is now the state's new adjutant general and whose family owns the local dry cleaners on Church Street. Also, a visitor in the home of Mr. and Mrs. R.L. Walker is young Billy Holman of Callio, who after a distinguished military career beginning during World War II, returned to Fayette and became one of the town's leading civic leaders. Continuing now, Central College is preparing for graduation, as you might expect, and Abe Silverman of Sedalia is elected student body president. In addition, the college newspaper, known as the Central Collegian, is honored in a state contest. In one of the local Fayette newspapers, a full-page ad for Central College notes that, quote, tomorrow's salvation is the church college. Locally, the aforementioned Dr. William Bloom is elected Vice President of the Missouri Medical Association. Also, citizens here express hope for the erection of a new state penitentiary in Fayette. It doesn't happen. An extra siding is put in the city park, and the mayor calls for a citywide cleanup drive. Also, Sunburn Balm is in demand as the swimming pool opens, and the newspaper features a full-page Fayette High School senior memories. At the college commencement, Methodist Bishop John Moore speaks and addresses the college graduates, and alumni gather for the annual Alumni Weekend. Also, Tom Baskett is elected the most interesting boy. Now it's summer in Fayette, three new 4-H clubs are organized in the county, and the Baptist youth attend camp at Bell's Lake. Also, one Martha Rogers Holman, recently deceased at age 95, returns from Girl Scout camp near Kaiser, Missouri. Fayette golfers retain their cup in intercity play with the city of Boonville coming in second. And more than 100 local farm folks attend a soil and conservation event. And the Fayette Summer Theater Group presents That's My Wife. In addition, a newspaper article notes that with recent rain, corn prospects look good. On the square, Clatworthy's advertises a big sale, including bras for 15 cents. Up the road, the Glasgow Milling Company nearly is destroyed in a big windstorm, and with no political correctness in those days, the newspaper reports note that five are arrested after, quote, a wild weekend in local Harlem. Also in the summer of 37, the C.C. Dimmitt Mercantile Company observes its 50th anniversary. A barrel stave factory opens at the fairgrounds, employing 60 men, and a full-page ad welcomes incoming freshmen arriving at Central. It's also reported that the college is now to offer a course in geology. Weather-wise, many culverts are washed out in an 8-inch rain, and a water carnival in the city park is a popular event. Also, Miss Martha Minor is named Miss Fayette in a contest at the Dickinson Theater, and Central President Robert Ruff sees, in his words, a growing demand for college education. Downtown, Paul's Sandwich Shop, was located across from the post office, is remodeled and later loses $192, that was a lot of money then, during a 3 a.m. robbery. Up on the hill, a young man in a brown suit rifles the desk of President Ruff in Brannick Hall. On a happier note, Charles H. Lee Clothier observes 15 years in business. Also, a WPA report notes that $394,000 has been spent in Howard County, mostly on roads, and the city purchases 19 acres for a park in the so-called new addition, now known as Page Liberty Park. Moving on to October, Fayette city leaders seek funds from the WPA for a new water main, and Fayette High School is commended by the State Department of Education for achieving first-class rating. Unfortunately, crime incidents are fairly common as they are today. For example, the home of Sam Ayers is ransacked by escapees from the Boonville Training School. Also, open warfare takes place, sort of, between Central students and Missouri Valley students in Marshall as the Eagles defeat the home team during Valley's homecoming. Central's well-known coach, Clarence Klingenpeel, defuses the incident. Earlier that day, at Marshall, the Central band is heard on a nationwide CBS radio hookup. Back home, the newspaper and the Dickinson Theater sponsor an all-day cooking school. And getting ready for cold weather, men's top coats at Tully Chenoweth Clothier on sale for $10.75. And plans proceed for Central's big homecoming parade at Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, that day, William Jewell's Cardinals rout the Eagles 20-2. And in Higbee, a polio epidemic brings an official notice prohibiting public gatherings. As Christmas nears, residents gather for a popular winter carnival on the square, just as we do today sometimes, and are encouraged to shop Fayette. The Snell Floral Company, adjacent to the park, wins the award for Best Christmas Window, and the Pool and Kreber Grocery Store advertises tomatoes at 4 cans for 25 cents. Later, an overflowed crowd hears the annual citywide Christmas cantata at the First Christian Church. And finally, as 1937 draws to a close, the Fayette newspaper editor calls for a law against spitting tobacco on the floor of the courthouse, city hall, or post office. For KPIP's Local Voices, A Glance Back, this is Jim Steele reporting for the Boonslick Historical Society.
That was our Glance Back in Time with Jim Steele, president of the Boonslick Historical Society. This series with Jim Steele will continue every Monday from noon to 4 p.m. during Local Voices, only on 94.7 KPIP.
All thanks from
America. To all you guys in blue, you men in khaki too, you tough Marines and nurses, construction workers too, we thank you so much. And thanks to our brave allies, the gallant Russian bear, you British everywhere, and all United Nations who are fighting over there, we thank you so much. Uncle Sam is proud of his relation. To all you folks who battle at our side, and Tojo and Herr Hitler and old Musso will soon take a ride, and I mean their last ride. So I guess that about does it, fellas. This is Bob Command Performance Hope saying so long from the USA and sending the best of the best to each one of you over there. Good luck.
I dreamt Uncle Sam was talking to the thunder of marching feet. And here's what he seemed to be saying to the soldier and the man on the street. Why are we working and fighting like we never did before? Oh, we wanna make sure, we're gonna make sure there'll never be another war. Why will we follow old glory where the flames and cannon roar? Oh, we wanna make sure, we're gonna make sure there'll never be another war. We're in line, we're all in line, and we're gonna keep our eye on the ball. You can bet we're in the threat to life and liberty once and for all. When we've destroyed those destroyers, there'll be peace forevermore. Oh, we're gonna make sure, we're gonna make sure there'll never be another war. Listen, Americans, you've got the right to say the things you want to say, and you're entitled to it. You've got the right to pray the way you want to pray, and you're entitled to it. You've got the right to live beneath a peaceful sky above. You've got the right to work and play and sing and laugh and love, and you're entitled to it. But today, there are those who would take those rights away. Today, the world is threatened by human beasts of prey. Today, we've got to unite and fight to defend each precious right from the forces of destruction. Then all the downtrodden people will be free from fear once more, and we'll bury the sword with the help of the Lord. There'll never be another war.
The Greatest Generation lives here on 94.7 KPIP.
Shudder, 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 all the still shudder, shudder of the night. I held you, shudder, shudder, held you tight, 'cause I love you so.
Still of the night,
in the still of the night.
still of the night.
It's time again to take a look back at the events that shaped this country and the world with This Week in History on KPIP's A Glance Back. In 1453, Constantinople falls to Mohammed II, ending the Byzantine Empire. In 1543, Nicholas Copernicus publishes proof of a sun-centered solar system. He dies just after his work is published. In 1738, in England, the Methodist Church is established. In 1787, the Constitutional Convention opens at Philadelphia with George Washington presiding. In 1790, Rhode Island becomes the last of the original 13 colonies to ratify the Constitution. In 1805, Napoleon Bonaparte is crowned in Milan, Italy. In 1830, Congress authorizes Indian removal from all states to the Western Prairie. In 1835, a resolution is passed in the U.S. Congress stating that Congress has no authority over state slavery laws. And in 1844, Samuel Morse taps out the first telegraph message. In 1848, Wisconsin becomes the 30th state in the Union. In 1864, the territory of Montana is organized. And jumping up to 1865, the last Confederate Army surrenders in Shreveport, Louisiana. In the year 1868, President Andrew Johnson is acquitted of all charges of impeachment. In 1907, the bubonic plague breaks out in San Francisco. And in 1911, the Indianapolis 500 is run for the first time. Jumping to 1922, the U.S. Supreme Court rules that organized baseball is a sport and not subject to antitrust laws. In 1925, John Scopes is indicted for teaching Darwinian theory in school. And in 1929, Colonel Charles Lindbergh marries Anna Spencer Morrow. In 1935, the Supreme Court declares President Franklin Roosevelt's National Recovery Act, better known as the NRA, as unconstitutional. In 1937, on a happy note, San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge opens. Jumping to 1940, Belgium surrenders to Germany. And in 1941, the British battleship Hood is sunk by the German battleship Bismarck. There are only three survivors. In 1946, a patent is filed in the United States for the H-bomb. And jumping to 1951, Willie Mays begins playing for the New York Giants. Also in 51, C.F. Blair becomes the first man to fly over the North Pole in a single-engine airplane. 1953, the first atomic cannon is fired in Nevada. In 1953, Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay become the first men to reach the top of Mount Everest. 1961, Amnesty International, a human rights organization, is founded. Jumping to 1969, construction begins on Walt Disney World in Florida. And in 1972, President Richard M. Nixon and Soviet Communist Party chief Leonid Brezhnev sign an arms reduction agreement. In 1974, President Richard Nixon agrees to turn over 1,200 pages of edited Watergate transcripts. In 1977, the movie Star Wars debuts. And in 1990, Boris Yeltsin is elected the president of Russia. And we invite you to tune in next week for another look back at the events that shaped this country and the world with This Week in History on KPIP's A Glance Back.
Take a glance at the past and present with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
Watching all you. have a jolly good time. The boys are here to find the girls they left behind. Your hole now we'll have a jolly good time. Ladies, turn out in your thousands, put on your red, white and blue. All the nice girls love a sailor, there'll be a sailor for you. Because the fleet's in port again, back home, in port again. Yo-ho, now we'll have a jolly good, really wonderful, mighty marvelous time.
It's a glance back at World War II with Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
And like an
Taking you back to the world of the greatest generation on 94.7 KPIP.
Thank you. farm. Every Friday on the farm is rabbit pie day. So every Friday that ever comes along, I get up early and sing this little song. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. Bang, 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 bang goes the farmer's gun. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, 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 run. Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. Don't give the farmer his fun, fun, fun. He'll get by without his rabbit pie. So run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run.
With Jim Steele on 94.7 KPIP.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let me tell you about a boy I know. He is my baby and he lives next door. Every morning before the sun comes up, he brings my coffee in my favorite cup. That's why I know, yes I know. Hallelujah, I just love him so. When I'm in trouble and I have no friends, he is my baby until the end. When everybody asks me how do I know, I say he smiled at me and told me so. That's why I know, oh, oh, I know. Hallelujah, I just love him so. Before I can count from one to four, I hear a knock, 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 knock on my door. In the evening when the sun goes down and there is nobody else around, he kisses me and he holds me tight. Tell me, baby, everything's all right. That's why I know, yes, I know. Hallelujah, I just love him so. As Ray Charles say, he say what I say, yeah, I say what I say. Don't you come back, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more, 'cause hallelujah, hallelujah. Just love, I just love him so. Hallelujah.
Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week, 'cause that's the night that my sweetie and I used to dance cheek to cheek. I don't mind Sunday night at all, 'cause that's the night friends come to call. And Monday to Friday go fast, and another week is past. But Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week. I sing the song that I sang for the memories I usually seek, until I hear you at the door, until you're in my arms once more. Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week. Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week. I sing the song that I sang for the memories I usually see, until I hear you at that door, until you're in my arms once more. Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week. Until I hear you at the door, until you're in my arms once more. Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week.